kingdom of God. And I did not write this in my message this morning, but this is about the kingdom of God. We see that it is to come very close, at hand, Jesus said, yet we're not there. And there are times also when we know that the kingdom of God is a It's how you feel inside. And so if you go to take care of someone, if you give money to a charity, if you make a phone call, if you pray with the door of your bedroom closed, and you feel that profound joy in you, that is the kingdom of God. It's great, it is important, and it is real. So Jesus promises that the kingdom of God belongs to those who take care of others. We were taught that we're made in God's image and likeness. So when I look at someone, I see God. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you see God. Jesus said he did not come to abolish the Jewish law, but to accomplish it. In Matthew 7, verse 12, he says, whatever you wish that others do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We live in God's world, don't we? And we also call this the golden rule. It wasn't coined by Jesus, and it seems that it was known to many cultures of antiquity, not only in Greece and Egypt, but also in many places of the Far East. Confucius said something similar. It's interesting to know that sometimes great inventions and great ideas pop up in the same century in many different places of the earth. It is what Carl Jung described, as synchronicity. Events coincide in time. They're meaningfully related, yet they lack a discoverable causal connection. Anyways, this golden rule has appeared, and it was so widely spread throughout the millennia that even until now, in 1948, the United Nations used it to create the Declaration of Human Rights. I'll tell you, when God wants to send a message across, he does it. Today, however, I have more questions in my mind than I have answers. If that golden rule spread all over the earth, come, human beings are not all living by this rule. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that golden rule was part of a human being's DNA? You'll remember on that topic that in Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophet speaks on behalf of God saying, I will put my word, I myself will put my word in their heart. And the more I ask questions, the more I ask this precise question, the less answers I have. Maybe I'm not posing it the right way. And you will see that. Sometimes you will ask questions and you ask questions. You don't find the answer. Well, you're probably not asking the question in the right way. Play with your question. move it, try it differently, you might come to an answer. It is because the world is diverse and sometimes cruel that we choose to believe in God, to firmly oppose our faith as an armor, as St. Paul said in Ephesians 6, to oppose and fight what has become ugly in this world because we don't use our freedom properly. How come some people have food and others don't? Some have money, some are poor, some are healthy, some are ill. Is it a question of freedom, of luck, or of Darwinism? Here we have a picture of soldier children in Africa. Here we have a picture of young Thailand girls. They're prostitutes. Then this golden rule was even perfected by Christ when he said, "What you do unto others, you do unto me." Do to others as you'd like them to do to you. Christ did not come to abolish the law, but to accomplish it. What you do unto others, you do unto me. That is God speaking to us. And with the rise of ecology and climatology, as our civilization continues to evolve, it is said that if one person damages or kills something in nature, it is ecocide. Religious people will say that it is even theocide. And we have this seven-year-old boy telling us what it is. Killing nature is killing God. And it makes sense when Jesus says in today's reading, "What you do unto others, you do unto me." From 1831 to 1996, 150,000 Métis Inuit indigenous children were separated from their families. Most of them never found their families after. I have to share with you this story a friend of mine told me in Nova Scotia. She's Mi'kmaq. And she said she was at the residential school with her siblings. And one night, a car came in with the lights off. And they came in the parking of the residential school. Some people came in the school, they went in the dormitory. They grabbed them by the hand, putting their hand on so they couldn't speak. It was their parents kidnapping them back. She remembers that. And then they're hid in the woods. This is where they live. But the woods is their house, it's their home. Between 3,000 and 6,000 of them kids died at school. Some people still deny that this was genocide. And for the surviving children, it was assimilation for sure. And we doubt that 6,000 is an accurate figure. We think that it's much, much more. The same residential school system existed in the United States, but no government ever accepted to allow an inquest on this. While in Canada, we held the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And it's not just a matter of heart and prayer and help. This week, you probably saw that for one nation in Lake John, they decided not to pay for their hydro bills. They're not paying their hydro bills because Hydro-Quebec flooded their reserves and their land with no deal, no money, no nothing. And with Ian Lafreniere, the new Minister of Indigenous Affairs, we're talking about economic reconciliation. This goes very far, and it's fine. This year, even with a First Nation moderator, our church is not featuring the Orange Shirt Day in its calendar. And it's not in the lectionary either. And you have been talking to me for so many weeks about that day. When is it, Christine? When shall I wear my orange shirt? We will continue not to celebrate, but to commemorate that day. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." You know, some people love children. I love children. Some people love children. Some people don't like children. And it's okay. To each his own. Her own. I see fetchka des enfants. Mais on les aime, les adore. And it's okay. But one thing is certain. It is that Jesus' words are very clear. What you do to one of the least of these, my brothers, you do to me. Many of those who hurt the Indigenous children have passed. Some are identified and are being sued right now. Those who have passed, have received, they have been received by God. Honestly, I will write to the United Church of Canada so that we do feature the Orange Shirt Day again next year. And we could even extend that to all the children of the world, which is the case for the United Nations. It's going to be on the 20th of November. But in our calendar, the 20th of November is Transgender Remembrance Day, which is important as well. But what I'd like it to be clear that we do commemorate the Indigenous children. And then later on, maybe all the children of the world. They're so welcome. We love them so. Children are too important to be overlooked, not considered, or worse, forgotten. For those of you who do not come to Summerlee often, maybe you missed that. In the picture frames on the wall, this is the list that is updated of the Indigenous children who passed in their residential schools. Choose one name. Everybody, we should pick one name and pray for that child today and often. Because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith, even though we're not guilty of any crime ourselves, we are bound somehow to these children. Do for them what you would like someone to do for you. We have a life that also belongs to them. But they won't have it. So let us do for them what we'd like people to do for us. That's Jesus Christ's message for us today. Amen. Amen.